This is Digital Dave.
And Fast Eddie.
And yes, we are professional radio people. No, we're not. And we're joined by Larry Kelly, who owns Panchito.
Oh, he flies it, too.
Does he really?
Yeah.
Good. But you guys know I spend a lot more time turning wrenches on it. These hands are not the hands of a pilot.
No, they look like the hands of a good working guy.
Yeah, I can't get the grease out from under the fingernails.
Oh.
You know, there's an advantage to that, though, and as you know, the condition of your aircraft.
You know, you bring up a very good point. I was just talking yesterday. One of our crewmen this time is a recently retired director from the Navy Test Pilot School, and he was telling me they lost one of their helicopters. Fortunately, no one was injured, but this helicopter was destroyed when a pilot had an oil leak behind the instrument panel, which was just an oil line broke loose that gave him oil pressure. And he immediately did an auto rotation in and caught a power line with a rotor. Helicopter wound up being destroyed when really, he had better knowledge of the mechanics of the airplane, of the helicopter. He could have proceeded on and made a normal landing without having to do an auto rotation, emergency auto rotation. And I preach this when we do the bomber and transport forums down in Warbirds. Is there's no such thing as a pilot in a Warbird. You have to know your airplane as well. You've got to know every system in that airplane, how it works, what the failure mode is, what the failure mode means.
Right, what to do next.
Yeah, exactly. And, of course, you know, the emergency procedure in a Corsair, you know, if you have an engine fire, is roll inverted and bail out. Real short checklist. You got 500 gallons of gas between you and that engine. But, you know, in most cases, the understanding the failure mode makes a difference in whether you have a nuisance or an emergency. Fully understanding. We had an issue flying up here. It was a minor issue because I knew exactly what was going on because I know the system, know how the system works. It was no big deal. So we'll deal with it when we get up there. We looked for secondary indications. There was none. We knew exactly what the failure mode was. We knew it was not an emergency. So we continued in Oshkosh, and we spent 15 minutes.
Fix it when you get here.
15 minutes yesterday morning. We took care of it. We tested. Everything's good to go.
The hard part, in my opinion, is teaching the analytical skill for them to analyze the failure.
Well, I mean, we try to do a lot of that. Those of us have been doing this for a number of years. We're getting older. You know, Mother Nature is chasing us across a lot. And, my son is 20 years old. He eats it up. Well, he just loves learning all these systems. And we sit down, we look at the diagrams, and then we go to the airplane. We follow it all the way through. I make sure he understands exactly how it all works. He's going to make a great Warbird mechanic.
And pilot.
Well, and pilot, yes. But, around our operation, you've got to be a little bit of both. You don't get to fly my airplane unless you're also there helping with the maintenance. And it's imperative that the pilots understand all of these systems, more than just book learning of the system, but understanding the failure modes of every system and what that means and how to deal with it.
And being able to recognize it quickly.
Well, recognize it, understand what it means, and deal with it, and very quickly determine, do I have a nuisance or do I have an emergency? Okay.
Yeah.
That's critical because, you know, first off, it's a valuable airplane. It's 60-plus years old.
There's no simulators.
There's no simulators at all. And, of course, with it being as old as it is, parts may be difficult to come by, too.
You know, ironically, the airplane's 70 years old this year. And part supply is better on that airplane than it is on my twin Comanche.
Wow.
Because the Aerotrader, Carl Scholl and Tony Richmond out in California, back decades ago, around the world, bought every B-25 part available in the world that they could get a hold of. And so now, if I need a little bracket or this or that, I just send them an email. I need this part number. And you find it on this page in the part book. A couple of days later, shows up UPS.
Wow.
That's wild. Yeah. Speaking of books, you must have quite an extensive collection of maintenance manuals and parts manuals for these. Were they difficult to find?
Yes. Actually, it took me quite a while to accumulate the complete set. And the complete set is not only the original book, but it's all the supplements all the way up until the Air Force stopped flying the airplanes in 1957. Because my airplane was active duty until 1958. Even though it was built in 44 and served in World War II, then it was converted by Hayes to a TB-25N, which means you remove the armament, upgrade the electrical systems, the avionics and everything. And the airplane was continued to use in 1958. So your maintenance manual published in 1954 or 1944 or whatever, there's supplements all the way up through when the Air Force ended. So to have a complete set of manuals means you got to have every supplement of every system. And the best source of that turned out to be the Air and Space Museum, where they won't let you copy it, but they have a service where they will actually make the copies for you of anything that they have in the archives. So we identified what they had in the archives. They did have a complete set, and we paid them very happily to professionally reproduce that. And then when we got it, we professionally scanned it, so we could reprint pages as they get too greasy.
Yep.
There you go.
You know, when you flip a page, a white piece of paper with a dirty, greasy hand, it gets more than fingerprints.
Service manual's not good until it's starting to get black around the edges.
Yeah. Well, here's another question. With the manuals and everything, they're huge, they're heavy, they're bulky. You can't just put them in the airplane and take them with you. Have you done anything to turn them into, say, PDF files for use
on a
laptop?
Yes, we do. I carry a basic maintenance manual from 1954 in the airplane, because 95% of what we can run into on the road is right there in that book. Okay. We also have it backed up. We have it all scanned on a PDF and on the computer. So if it's something in a supplement, we always have it on the computer. And I'm familiar with all the supplements, so I know what's in those supplements if we ever had to need to use them. And some of them are significant, some are not. Most are not. Most are just tiny little small changes that not really relevant to most of the maintenance we're doing on the airplanes.
So when you guys are out on tour, do you have someone at home on call in case you need to get a spare part sent out real quick?
Yeah, we have some of the volunteers back home that can do that. Actually, we had to do that. I've got a new directional gyro arriving today, UPS, at the house we're staying in. But, yeah, we do. But, you know, we have a commitment to make, you know, and that's something. When we teamed up with the DAV 10 years ago to do this aviation outreach program with disabled American veterans, along with that came a commitment, you know, on Friday evening, Friday, because, you know, you're busy week and you didn't get all your maintenance done, you can't just call and say, well, I can't show up to this commitment this weekend because we just didn't get all our maintenance done, or I'm just not feeling well. You got to be there. And to be there, then you got to have the commitment, you know, not only have a good part supply backup, all your common failure modes, and we've got duplicate, triplicate, quadruplet on a lot of the backup items that we need. We always stay. If I use a part, I'd make sure it's replenished with the yellow tag overhauled replacement ready to go. That's why I made a call, pull this gyro up, told them right where to get it, put it in UPS to us. We got one that's precessing really bad. Because we got to be there. You know, you can't tell these guys who's rolling around in a wheelchair, you know, that you're not going to be their advocate. Okay, because you just were busy and didn't get your work done. So, you know, we're talking a lot about maintenance, but, you know, maintenance on these warbirds, people do to be able to make their appearances and be there when they need to be there, and that's a commitment that we've made. And I don't believe in the 10 years we've been doing this, we've never missed an event, you know, due to a mechanical failure. Now, we've had weather issues, but I can't stop a thunderstorm, okay? But those kind of issues are outside of your control. What is inside our control is those maintenance issues. So we head ahead. We build ahead on that.
Well, that's pretty good thinking. Although if it's a large part like a tire, that might be a little shipping challenge.
I've got two tires sitting in a hangar mounted on wheels. One's on a pallet strapped down, just in case that has to happen. Already mounted on a wheel, because you can't always find a place to get them mounted.
Right.
So, in other words, all you'd have to do would be to have
call the trucking company,
FedExed over, and then you guys would have the Jackson equipment, pop the tire.
I send a text message to my shipping broker, tell her where to have it shipped, and then it'll show up. Tell her how soon I need it.
No kidding. That's amazing. What kind of maintenance issues do you have with a 70-year-old aircraft?
We're going to be talking about that a lot during the Bomber Forum this week, because it's not only what's in the book. The FAA requires us to maintain the airplanes to the standards that were published by the manufacturer. But the manufacturer never in their wildest dreams believed these airplanes were going to be flying 70 years later. So as an example, this past winter, we pulled the wings off my airplane. We took it down to Douglas, Georgia, where Tom Riley is, and took the wings off. That's not a small job. It's not in any of my maintenance manuals. Nowhere in there is any type of a sequence for having to remove the wings to do inspections of the wing attach angles or the inside of the fuel tank bays. But how else are you going to know you got corrosion starting to form? So it's the hidden ghost in maintenance. So you got to look forward to these things. Not only do you maintain it by the manual, but what else has experience shown operating Warbird throughout the industry that you need to be looking at that could be a potential failure mode starting to? And that's hidden intergranular corrosion in these older airplanes. So what have I got to do to find that before it becomes an issue? And that's the extra stuff that we wind up doing. Because when it comes Friday or Thursday, we're going to be there. We're going to be there. Kerry's going to have the media lined up, and we're going to be talking about DAV and everything that they do.
All right. That's incredible. And maintaining a 70-year-old airplane is quite a feat in itself.
Oh, I know we could do another interview with that. Problem at all.
Right. But we got to go.
Unfortunately.
Oh, anyway, this is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie, and this is EAA Radio.